your message on 570 Podwad 1. Please send us your message, because really, we've got no messages.
Ew!
Y'all heard?
Hey, everybody. This is Y'all Heard.
A podcast where me, Marissa Phillips.
And me, Pete Phillips.
And we're not related.
And this is a show for curious people who want to hear about a variety of topics out there in the world. From
food
to fetishes,
celebrities
to unsung heroes, from things you think you know to
things you didn't know you needed to know.
So, Marissa.
Yep.
Starting the show, we know everything sucks shit. What's something that's okay this month? Mine is that the Audubon Society calendar this month has decided to spotlight the red-winged blackbird. Mm. And I love the red-winged blackbird.
Okay, that's fun. Mine is that two things. I was obviously down about various things, and my father just sent me a text that said, "What a beautiful day," with a picture of his backyard. And it's the most parent text that could exist, but like in a beautiful way, like not making fun. That's just like, it makes me so thankful I have parents I love, because I was like, you know what, that is a beautiful backyard, and it just brought me joy.
Yeah.
And I bought a new video game, and video games are the purest form of joy in my life. I get lost in video games like I'm a 12-year-old boy. I got this new game called Astrobot. I'm not going to bore you with the details, but basically
I said thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. But yeah, basically I have a new video game just waiting for me. And I was waiting till like I needed it. And so today's the day. I'm going to play the video game today. I'm going to make sure I start playing it before my husband comes home, who likes to watch the news. And if someone turns on the news today, I will slit their throat. Except I wouldn't slit my husband's throat. But you get what I'm saying. Yeah. Anyway, let's do an icebreaker. Icebreaker. Are there any foods that when you're feeling down, or you don't have to feel down, just any foods that definitely like bring you joy?
Of course.
Well, what are they?
I would say that if you ask me what food brings you the most joy,
yeah,
I'm going to go with the Carvel ice cream cake.
Oh, I should have known that. Okay. But I thought it was a Reese's stick, and I was going to regret saying it because we all know that. But yeah, that's a good one.
I don't remember the last time I had one.
Okay.
I'm guessing it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. It wasn't that long ago.
So, you know, like, you can't be having joy all the time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to lose its luster. So
yeah. The most joyous I recall food making me was when I found beer-battered gluten-free onion rings in Disney Springs a few years ago. And I haven't had a beer-battered onion ring in like a decade. And I haven't had a good gluten-free onion ring in at least a couple years. And that was amazing. However, just talking about something that's like more accessible.
Yeah.
We bought fun-sized Butterfingers because they were on sale. Holy shit, man. I have not let myself eat a Butterfinger for years. And,
I don't know a lot about rocks, but it reminds me of, like, certain rocks where, like, like the plates can like just slip apart and like little pieces of slate just start to fall away. Except it's delicious.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna say this better end in a good note, but yeah, I 100% understand what you mean. I When I was little, I used to love Butterfinger BBs. Oh, I used to love eating them in a movie theater. I don't even know if they're around anymore, but I haven't picked up a Butterfinger in a while because I just assumed they had too much sugar for me to handle. But apparently I can handle the sugar in a fun size. And I had one, and you would have thought I was having an orgasm. It was amazing. So, yep, that was, oh, so beautiful.
That was too hot for Instagram if you're watching Marissa eat things on Instagram.
Oh, I also wanted to tell you, I didn't love the flavor because I forgot that cherry Twizzlers exist. Like, the default is strawberry, and I was like, oh, the cherry is kind of, like, weird. But I went to Hershey Dark Nights, like it's like their Halloween thing, and there's a section where you can trick-or-treat. We had a child with us, but, man, they do not discriminate. Like, a whole bunch of adults, me, my aunt, my cousin, like, we all just grown-ass people, they just let us take a bag and give us candy. We're like, fuck, we're not going to fight it. Yeah. And I got, have you seen the Twizzlers that are shaped like ghosts?
Like, no, but I did hear about them.
Yeah, the Twizzler nibs. They're not like a whole fucking thing, whole, it's not a whole fucking, like, strip of Twizzler shaped like a ghost. They're little nibs, and they were so adorable. So that's all.
Don't love nibs.
Again, I didn't love the flavor either, but I was so excited just at how cute they were. I'm sorry, you don't like Twizzler nibs or you don't like the idea of nibs? I like the idea of nibs, just not Twizzler cherry nibs.
Yeah, I don't like the Twizzler nibs. Okay. Cause it's too concentrated. I need my Twizzler to spread out.
I understand.
Which is why I would prefer to have a regular Twizzler shaped into a ghost, like the outline of a ghost.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fun. That would be hard to keep its shape. The reason I'm talking about food is we're going to talk about food today. It's a dumb topic, and I am sure I did not talk about this before. Yes, there is slight overlap because I was like, I only want to talk about food. I couldn't think of a topic. I was like, it has to be food. That's all I care about this week. And I think, or I could be wrong, have I talked about what people ate in past Thanksgivings before?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so I made sure I didn't do that. However, I was like, is there another angle to this? And so basically today I'm going to look at...
I took two old topics and I made them into one. So today we're going to talk about gelatinous Thanksgiving food.
No! I don't think, and I sure hope I didn't. I don't think I discussed, like, how we arrived at some of the staple things we eat in our modern Thanksgiving. Like, why we eat turkey, because they probably didn't eat it at the beginning. And why we eat fucking cranberry, which, by the way, I'm an idiot. I wanted to just talk about cranberry but I'm not. Cause Pete, is there cranberry sauce at your Thanksgiving?
Out of the can, yeah.
But what are you supposed to do with it?
Eat it.
But on turkey? Loose, like a Lucy?
Oh, see, you're talking about actual whole cranberries?
No, the cranberry jelly. How are you supposed to eat it?
So you dump it out of the can, and it maintains its shape.
Uh-huh.
You tip it over, and then you cut it in slices.
No, I know that.
Put it on your plate.
And what form is it going in my mouth? Like, what is it going? Is it with another food or by itself?
Either. Yeah. Over the years, I've come to like the saltiness of turkey and the sweetness of the cranberries.
Okay. To this day, I still don't understand how I'm supposed to eat it, but okay.
Yeah, historically, I've just been like, nope, give me straight cranberries.
Okay. Granted, I do like it. I don't get it. But anyway, so today I'm going to look at why we eat turkey, why we eat cranberry sauce, mostly in its gelatinous form, and why we eat...
Pumpkin pie?
No, the gross fucking casserole, green bean casserole, which I thought it was good in theory. And then I had it, and I was like, ew, this is like shit. Like, this is such a just, like, gunky mass of, like,
cum. I don't, okay.
I said it.
I don't like cummy soups.
Yeah, I don't know. But I, like, in theory, like, I like cream of mushroom soup, I like green beans, and I like French fried onions, but together, that's disgusting. Anyway, so, anyway, let's get to it. So, like, as far as I have not done this before. What?
Sorry.
You said gobble gobble or let's go? Okay. So, first off, why do we eat turkey? Why do you think we eat turkey, Pete?
We eat turkey because people eat chicken all year long, and people eat beef all year long, and people sometimes have turkey sandwiches, but that results in a surplus of turkeys, and so we have to have one day a year where everybody eats a turkey, just to keep the turkey population down.
Okay, that's a good hypothesis. Well, let's get into it. So,
That's Marissa Soria saying, you're wrong.
I mean, you could be right, but that's not, like, the real reason. But just in case you didn't listen to my first episode about, like, what people likely ate in past Thanksgivings, when pilgrims from England celebrated their first autumnal feast in the colonies in 1621, which, you know, later became known as the first Thanksgiving, their meal likely looked very little like what we eat today on Thanksgiving. While some experts have differing views, and there's no, like, straight-up definitive account of what they ate that day, many historians think that based on the season and the location and other information about that time period, that venison, so deer meat, was likely a big protein at the celebration, probably provided by deer hunters from the, forgive me if I say it wrong, Mashpee Wampanoag, an indigenous tribe who lived in the area for roughly like 10,000 years before the Mayflower even landed.
Hey, you know so, what? I can tell you that you did say that right.
Thank you.
I don't know if it's true, but I can tell you that.
They were known for eating deer, and they were a tribe that farmed and foraged, and they ate predominantly beans, corns, roots, and berries. So that was likely also in the meal. And the Native Americans and colonists in that area were also known to eat eggs, fish, shellfish. Is oyster a shellfish? Yes, it comes in a shell. Duh. When I think of shellfish, I just think of lobsters, but people were saying oysters were definitely there.
Potato would be a root, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think so. And wild birds. But while there were some wild turkeys in the area, which, by the way, wild turkeys are way, like, skinnier than the turkeys we did at Thanksgiving, some people speculate that it was a different kind of bird, maybe a goose or a duck, or there could have even been pigeons. So if a wild turkey made its way there, it was definitely not the focal point that it is today. So all of that said, like, why do we eat turkey? The reason is likely...
I just want you to know this whole episode... slanted by the fact that Marissa hates turkey.
No, I mean, I do hate turkey. Actually, I don't hate turkey cold cut, but I hate turkey for Thanksgiving. All that said, like I said, why do we eat turkey? So the reason, like, in my mind, it wouldn't have been that interesting of a reason, but then when I read the reason, I was like, I've never heard of that, but okay. So the reason is likely linked to a book and one author's unique persistence. So, prior to 1863, Thanksgiving was like an unofficial holiday, specifically like in the New England area. Turkey was often served, but not necessarily always, as part of this celebration for a few reasons. First, turkey was plentiful in that area. One expert estimated that there were at least 10 million turkeys in America at the time of European contact. Second, turkeys on a family farm were almost always available for slaughter. While live cows and hens are always useful, like, for other things like milk and eggs, turkeys are generally only raised for their meat, so they can be killed and it's not like a big loss in other ways. And third, a single turkey was usually big enough to feed a bunch of people. So, all that said, turkey was a kind of like an easy go-to staple for like a holiday, but it wasn't like the official food.
Hey, I'm reading that turkey eggs are 50% larger than chicken eggs. and they have a similar taste but are slightly richer.
Ugh. I don't want anything richer.
Twice as many calories, protein, and fat.
I wonder why. Maybe they don't like lay eggs as frequently or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe that's
So some people have credited Charles Dickens' book, A Christmas Carol, written in 1843, with bolstering the idea of turkeys as a holiday meal. But it's actually another writer named Sarah Joseph Hale who likely played a more important role. So Sarah Joseph Hale wrote a novel called Northwood, A Tale of New England, which achieved modest success in the 1800s. The book apparently had an entire chapter devoted to the New England Thanksgiving feast, describing a large family table topped with a roasted turkey, gravy, and vegetables. In the book, it stated, "The roasted turkey took precedence on this occasion, being placed at the head of the table. And well did it become its lordly station, sending forth the rich odor of its savory stuffing, and finally covered with the frost of the basting." I don't know why. Ew. Frost of the basting? That sounds disgusting.
And stuffing.
What do you mean? You don't like stuffing?
No, just like... She doesn't really go into detail about what makes up stuffing.
I mean, maybe she does later. I don't go deep. I don't do a deep dive in her book.
You didn't read the whole thing?
No.
You know, Marissa, I'm getting sick and tired of you with these topics, you know, really phoning it in.
So after the success of her book, American publisher Louise Godey convinced Hale that she should become the editor of his magazine called Godey's Ladies Book. Godey's, what?
His daughter got married to somebody whose last name was Nuts.
All right. So this Godey's magazine reached a wide audience, and it's generally considered one of the most influential magazines of the 19th century. So Hale,
we've all heard of it.
Actually, I have, because I'm always looking for Victoria Chin. I'm always looking for scanned images from the Godey's magazines. So actually, I'm very familiar with it. Mm-hmm. So Hale, who accepted the position as editor-in-chief, she used this position basically to campaign for the establishment of a national day of Thanksgiving. She didn't want it to just be some unofficial thing people in New England did. She wanted all of America to be like, let's fuck with Thanksgiving. So she wrote a number of editorials and articles about the holiday, and she lobbied state and federal officials, asking them to designate an annual National Day of Thanks. And she wanted it to be the last Thursday of November, which she believed would ease growing tensions between the North and South on the eve of the Civil War.
What?
Yeah, I don't understand whether that's worded poorly, because I don't understand why making it the last Thursday of November would do that.
November eases the tensions of the Civil War.
I just think she meant she wanted it to be a national holiday to sort of bring some unity. I read that poorly worded sentence.
Anyway. Boy, she's canceled.
Well, I never even knew she was in existence, so she might as well be. So apparently her efforts paid off. By 1854, more than 30 states had established Thanksgiving as a celebration. And then in 1863, President Lincoln proclaimed Thanksgiving as an official holiday, and it was accepted as being on the last Thursday of November. And due to all her fucking ranting about turkey and its frosted glazing and its odorous stuffings, roast turkey was nationally recognized as the celebratory meat for the holiday. Are you going to bring a turkey out? Pete's like pulling things into screen as we're doing this. Is something going to happen?
I just noticed a bunch of dead leaves on my plant, so I'm trying to see what's wrong with it.
Okay.
Oh, there's a turkey in it! No.
Whoa! So yeah, it was the most exciting thing of my life, but basically, what's her face? Josepha Hale had a big boner for her Thanksgiving holidays. Yeah, I'm crude today, okay?
Did she come from turkey farmers?
I don't know.
Yes.
Don't ask me a detail I didn't say.
We're going to say yes. We're going to make it a conspiracy.
So she basically loved her little New England turkey celebrations, and she's like, all you bitches need to get in on this. So,
because that's what we do.
Yeah. So she
we colonize our beliefs and press them upon others.
That's damn right. And so she is like unofficially considered the godmother of Thanksgiving. So now, why do we...
What would you like to be the godmother of? Lightning round. Icebreaker.
Not giving a fuck. No, that's not real, but that's the first thing that came to my head. How about you? You know?
I don't have to do any work. I think it'd be fun to be, like, the godfather of ice cream.
Oh, that's nice. I mean, I want to be the godmother of darkness.
You already are, Marissa.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, this is... No, never mind. This is a tangent. Anyway, so now let's talk about why we eat cranberry sauce. Why do you think we eat cranberry sauce, Pete?
We eat cranberries because they are in
season.
No, why
do we eat cranberry sauce in a can? That is the specific, not just cranberries in general.
Okay. Please don't interrupt me.
Okay.
We eat cranberries because they are in season, like in the latter half of the year.
Yes.
And we eat cranberry sauce because it's a delectable way to eat them. We eat cranberry sauce out of the can because we're lazy and poor.
Okay. The first part was correct. The latter parts were, I mean, not necessarily wrong, but that's not, like, really why.
I looked up how to make, like, cranberry sauce from cranberries one year, and I was like, fuck that.
Yeah, absolutely not. So, historians believe cranberries likely did make an appearance at the first Thanksgiving because cranberries are native to North America, and indigenous people in the area used cranberries for food and medicinal purposes long before the pilgrims invaded their land. But as Pete said, cranberries are ripe and plentiful at the autumnal time of Thanksgiving. Fresh cranberries are generally ready to harvest from mid-September through mid-November, so right on time for the Thanksgiving holiday.
I was right, everybody.
Yeah. So it is said that cranberry sauce was first loosely described in accounts from the American colonies in the 1600s, and that the recipe appeared in a cookbook for the first time in 1796. But that still doesn't really explain why we eat the gelatinous canned cranberry sauce. Mm-hmm. So that apparently...
And it probably stays longer.
That's part of it, but it actually has a lot to do with the way cranberries are harvested. So
ocean spray.
Yep, that is part of it.
I once visited a town in New Jersey where they had a bunch of cranberry bogs, and Ocean Spray had a factory there.
That's fun. Did you
Speaking
get?
Speaking of diversions.
So, cranberries, Concord grapes, and blueberries are apparently the only native North American fruits commercially grown. But of those three, cranberries were the first to flourish as a commercial crop thanks to the innovative growing practices used to harvest cranberries. Perhaps the most innovative and what leads to such a booming cranberry... What's the word?
Revolution.
Yes. Includes the introduction of wet harvesting and the formation of a cooperative of growers we know today as Ocean Spray.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1930s...
Spray it, baby.
What?
Hmm?
Did you say the spray baby?
Spray it, baby.
Go to sleep.
I really want to.
In the 1930s, cranberry farming shifted from primarily dry harvesting to wet. So dry harvesting is responsible for the fresh cranberries that we get in the produce aisles. Have you ever tried to fuck with fresh cranberries?
Yes.
They grow.
When, during one of the Christmas parties.
And what'd you do with them?
I put them in ice cubes because...
Oh, yeah.
They looked fun.
Yeah, I do like to just play around with them.
Eventually this ice is going to melt and you're going to have to eat a damn cranberry.
A gross-ass cranberry. So when we get those fresh ones that are kind of hard to work with, that's dry harvesting is used. But dry harvesting was...
That means you've got to wet it yourself.
Yep. Dry harvesting was and still is very labor-intensive today, which is probably why you know, we're not like swimming in fresh cranberries. It's mostly the processed cranberries that we have access to. So the advent of wet harvesting not only increased the efficiency of how cranberry bogs operate, but it spawned the cranberry industry we have today. So when bogs are flooded with water, cranberries begin to loosen from their vines. So thanks to the natural buoyancy caused by the four hollow chambers, cranberries float to the surface of the bog where they are mechanically harvested.
They rise to the top like evil.
Exactly. So what used to take like a couple hundred people to harvest is, you know, now can be done with just a handful. So mechanically harvesting cranberries does come with a caveat, though. The berries that are harvested like this are often too imperfect to sell as a fresh product.
They're going to get beat up.
Yes, which led to companies coming up with the solution of canning them.
I'm going to beat that berry up.
So Ocean Spray has been canning ready-to-serve cranberry jelly since 1912. And with a surplus of these raw materials in hand, cranberries had the opportunity to develop a market presence with this packaged product that can last long term, so well beyond the September or November growing season. Thus, cranberry jelly in a can became a fixture at our tables. Thank you, Ocean Spray.
Thanks, guys. You know what else you can do with it, guys? You can make juice. Oh, wait, you already did.
Oh, burn? So lastly, why do we eat green bean casserole? Basically, it was originally marketed...
You didn't ask me.
Oh, why do we eat green bean casserole?
We eat green bean casserole because green beans are not necessarily in season, but they're easy to hold on to. And you bake them, right? So you dry them out, and then you put them in cream soup, and
that
gives them
green beans.
You dry out the green beans, yeah, and then you kind of have them whenever you need them. At the end of the year, you're like, "Oh, we don't need these anymore, so let's put them in some
dry
cream soup."
No one eats dried green beans.
And then let's was it fried? No, they're not fried.
Onions or whatever. Twice fried onions?
You know, we eat it because Campbell's told us to.
Basically, I don't understand what you're talking about drying green beans. Do you eat green beans ever?
Yeah.
Are they dried?
I had some for lunch today.
Were they dried?
No, they
weren't. In your pantry?
I was thinking, like, maybe in the olden days, you know, you could keep cranberries for a long time if you, like, dried them in the sun or something like that.
Gotcha. Well,
but then when you put them in the casserole, you know, they're going to get re-moisturized.
Well, this became more popular when people were known to have canned green beans. But, like, I get what you mean about they had, like, you know, stuff on hand long term. But I don't know that anyone's drying green beans. But if you dry green beans, call us at 570-POD-1.
Yeah, or if you ate a dried green bean before, like you didn't do it, but somebody else did.
Yeah. So basically, green bean casserole was originally marketed as an everyday side dish, but it became popular for Thanksgiving dinner specifically in the 60s, just very simply because Campbell's placed the recipe on the label of their can and was like, make this Thanksgiving green bean casserole.
I feel it's important for me to tell everybody that it was in Tabernacle, New Jersey. I just
found
that out.
When you went to a bog?
Yeah.
Thank you. So this
rest easy, everyone.
Yeah. This casserole was invented by Dorcas Riley.
Nice.
A home economist.
I'm sorry?
Economist economist, economist, whatever, at Campbell's Test Kits in Campbell's, in what? No, in Camden, New Jersey. Dorcas was asked to create a dish that utilized condensed cream of mushroom soup. I'm assuming just to make people buy it more.
Right, yeah.
So after a few experiments...
So he was like, oh, onions suck, green beans suck, let's put them all in there.
Yeah. Onions do not suck, onions are delicious. Mm. But after a few initial failed experiments, which included rolled ham, I don't know what rolled ham is, but okay.
And there's the cream of whatever soup in it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds Paula Deen gross.
Sounds gross, but it also sounds totally like something that would be done in the 60s.
Yeah.
Riley decided to try green beans, which were a staple in the American home at the time. I assume it's canned green beans, but I could be wrong. So thus the final casserole.
You're never wrong.
Thus the final casserole called the green bean bake was created. The original recipe called for 6 ingredients, including cream of mushroom soup, green beans, milk, soy sauce, pepper, and French's French fried onions. So, green bean casserole was considered the perfect dish for entertaining because it was simple, inexpensive, and could be easily made ahead of time, which is in part why I think it's so gross. Mm. Anyway, it became known as a, quote, Jiffy casserole because it went from one bowl to one pan in a jiffy. And casseroles bound with white sauces became especially prevalent during the Great Depression as a way of stretching ingredients, says Kathy Kaufman, president of the Culinary Historians of New York.
It's too that many sounds C's. Gross.
What?
Oh, it's too many C sounds.
Yeah. So, Campbell's estimates that 30%.
Do you like? Sorry.
Huh?
Do you like Alfredo?
I love Alfredo.
I don't like anything that's creamy, except cream in my coffee.
I love cream.
Oh, and soup. Ice cream.
I want to clarify. I love cream of mushroom soup. I just don't want it dumped on a bunch of wet vegetables.
Yeah.
Campbell estimates that 30% of the cream of mushroom soup sold in the United States today still goes towards making this gross, nostalgic casserole.
Did you say 30%?
Yep.
Huh.
I'm surprised it's not more. Who the fuck is buying that casually? Yeah. Pete, does your Thanksgiving include this?
Nope.
Yeah.
Because my mom knows that we will not eat it. I think one year she was going to make it. But it was mostly out of what you were describing, like, oh, well, everybody else has this, so we should try it at least once.
Yeah.
But I am more of a sweet potato casserole man.
I find sweet potato casserole gross, but I wanted to like it because everyone else does it. But no, gross.
Did it have nuts in it?
My family has tried various combinations.
And it's all right. I'll mail you one.
Okay, thank you. I actually don't really like sweet potatoes, though, unless they're made in a very specific recipe that I've only had in Korea. Anyway, that is it. This was a stupid topic. I just wanted to talk about food. I just wanted to be like, hey, do you ever think of that? Did you need to know any of that? Probably not, but if everyone's talking about shitty shit at Thanksgiving, you could tell them what I told you. Hey, did you know some lady wrote a book, and that's why we have to eat this godforsaken, disgusting-ass, dry, chonky bird?
You're making it wrong.
Yeah, it's probably juicy, but I don't want it juicy either. It's just gross. I don't like anything. Ugh. Anyway. I don't like anything. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Plugs.
Pete, do you have any plugs? I'm just jumping away from this. I haven't even seen sunlight today because I worked and then went straight to this podcast and now it's dark outside. I'm going to die. So bring me some joy.
I don't know if I have any.
Okay, I'll plug. Yeah, I'm going to plug first. An Instagram account that brings me joy. It's at Natural Habitat Shorts. That's plural.
Natural Shorts. Habitat Shorts.
Yeah. It is
so shorts that are worn by a natural habitat?
Yeah, but it's not like possessive. There's no apostrophe. But these are just animated shorts about animals.
Oh, I was thinking shorts, like clothes.
No. These are short animated sequences about animals. They give you a little fact about an animal, and they're all ridiculous. They're just very ridiculous. They're very funny, and they all teach you one fact about an animal. And they bring me a lot of joy. Pete, you might like it. I don't know. I think they're fun. They do have bird facts and bird shorts in them. So, not bird shorts that you wear. Animal shorts about birds. Mm-hmm. So, they had a lot of... They just bring me joy. Anytime there's a new one, it makes me happy. And like me, you might need some joy today. If you don't understand, we are recording the day after the election if you didn't make the connection.
So I have been watching the NBA, and if you recall last year, I had some quandaries about whether or not I should get NBA League Pass. And this year I did get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, why did you put money out for this? And then I went to cancel it, and you know what they did? They gave me 20% off.
Ooh,
so then
nice.
I had to keep it. And I just want to let everybody know, you could threaten to cancel your NBA League Pass and maybe get 20% off.
Nice. Honestly, every so often, my father tells the cable company he's going to quit, and then they give him a few months free.
Yeah.
My father just calls everyone and threatens to quit, and he calls them on the fucking phone. Oh, my dad is savage.
So I've been watching basketball, and the Cleveland Cavaliers are doing good, and the Detroit Pistons are playing basketball, and the Blazers from Portland, they're doing basketball. So, you know, I've been enjoying that. And the one that I got was the premium, which shows you what's happening in the arena instead of commercials, because I couldn't stand... That was part of why I paid for the premium one.
Because you couldn't stand the election
exactly.
Commercials?
And that's why I've been watching more Netflix than any other streaming service that I have.
Every time, because we're in a swing state, if you don't know, we both live in Pennsylvania. You know, regardless of where you stand, it was just very annoying to get all these political ads. And I just, it filled me with so much rage. I wish, like, we're in a culture where you're used to being able to, like, rate everything. I wish I could just rate the campaign companies, give my give my feedback and just be like, fuck yourself. Bird in hell, you make me not want to even vote. I voted, guys. Yeah. But, like, you make me not want to vote. You make me want to die. You make
everybody I voted for lost.
What do you say?
Everybody I voted for lost.
Yep. I like to think if I never turn on the news ever, which I feel like that will break as soon as my husband comes home, that it's like it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I currently live in a bubble where Joe Biden's the president forever, I guess. not that that's a benefit, but you know what I mean.
Do you think he's dumb enough to overthrow himself on January 6th?
Oh, what did I? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Also, my second favorite meme today was doubling down on his election fraud claim. Trump is refusing to accept that he won the election. That one made me happy.
Yeah.
Fucking camera on.
It just went on when you went to read.
Oh. Yep. So guys, you can give us a call about fucking whatever. At 570-POD-1-1. Also, I'm leaving up my Halloween flag forever now.
Nice.
Forever, because that's the only America I want to live in. Halloween America. Call us at 570-POD-1-1. You can email us at
YallHeardPod@gmail.com. You can also get fun stuff from Patreon from us at patreon.com/YallHeard.
Yeah. If you are one of our patrons, did you get my zine? I know it's past Halloween, but my mail is a fucking clusterfuck. So in the event that you give us money and we have your address and you did not get a copy of my zine, let me know. I know it's past Halloween, but I still have like 5 copies. Oh, and as always, did I say you could slide into my DMs at RissVandal? If but you feel sad. Just, I feel sad too, and I have no comforting words. Just don't die and stay safe.
Bye.